And so this is just a reminder that our meeting will be recorded and posted to the school website. Welcome, everybody. This is our first meeting for the 2023-24 School Health Advisory Council, or SHAC, meeting. Just as an introduction, we have Ms. Pope, our principal for elementary, Mr. May, our assistant principal, and Alex Harris is here with the Madison County, Leon County Health Department, and Ms. Alice Kirk, she's one of our parents. Ms. Jane Dill is a teacher, CTE, and over FCCLA. Ms. Andrus is here with curriculum. Ms. Batten is here with counselor, as our counselor. We have two students, Hope Hobbins and Madeline Cole. Myself as school nurse, Casey Luchek. We have Ms. Kelly Weiler, who is one of our CTE teachers. And I believe that is it. Thank you all for coming. During our first meeting, we also have to determine our SHAC officers. And so we'll just go around and make the motion and decide those. We have to have a parent co-chair, a parent representative, a staff representative, and then we'll have a student representative as well. And so I'll make the first motion with Ms. Alice Kirk, if you would, for our SHAC parent co-chair.
A second.
Okay. And any objections? And then if you want to do for SHAC staff.
Okay. I nominate Casey for SHAC staff co-chair.
I second.
Any objections? Thank you. And then we will, as parent representative, with Ms. Kirk, do you want to?
Yeah.
Typically, we had another parent who was going to be our parent representative, which they were unable to be here.
I would like to nominate Ms. Asher for future meetings to serve along as a parent.
Okay.
And she had previously indicated interest.
And I will second that. And I would like to make them, or do we have any objections?
Hello.
I think there's a couple back there. And so we had Ms. Jennifer Beal come with our cafeteria and Ms. Chapman with Grimes County Food Services. We're just getting our SHAC officers for this year.
Oh, okay.
And then I'd like to make a motion for Ms. Weiler to be our staff representative for SHAC.
I'll second that.
Thank you, ma'am. And then lastly, if make a motion for Ms. Madeline Cole to be our student representative.
I second that.
Okay. And any objections? Okay. So that will be our representative for this year. Just as a refresher, Texas law requires school. Yes, sir.
Do we have a staff or an admin member?
We need an administrator.
Okay. Oh, do you want to do an admin?
Okay. Yes. Last year we had Mr. Compton.
I'm going to nominate Donald.
Perfect.
Yeah, it would be a good idea.
That's great.
I'll second that.
That's great. All right. So now we are official and have our officers. And so the Texas law requires school districts to have a school health and advisory, or a SHAC, committee. It's appointed by the board. So what we will do is our officers that we have just nominated, we will send that to the board and they will officially set those as our members. Our role is we're a group that we advise or provide recommendations to the district or the school board on student health and learning. We are required to meet two times per year since we are a district of innovation, and we have to make an annual report to the school board at the end of the school year, and we can have subcommittees and hold any special meetings as we feel needed throughout the school year as well. The eight components of school health that are incorporated into SHAC include health education, physical education, health services, nutrition services, counseling, psychological and social services, a healthy school environment, staff health and wellness, and family and community involvement. And so anytime we have concerns about any of those, we can bring that to this group. At this time, we will review the minutes from our last meeting. We had our department updates where we had a subcommittee that was created so we could review the approved curriculum requirements per the new state mandates. And they were going to be presented at the next meeting, which is this meeting, and we do have those that we are going to present. Ms. Chapman provided information about our menu and our board-approved wellness policy. We went over the Smart Snack guidelines for our students. They had an assessment that was due last year. Ms. Kirk advised of the updated wellness tool per TASB. Food services are required to have latest Shack invitation updates, and we posted on the website, which we do before and after. Health services, we were approved for Narcan. That has been processed. The school has received Narcan. Now we're just placing the policy through the school board at this time. Medicaid came and she introduced herself and provided resources for us. And then we just reviewed our goals at that time from last year. Our annual report was submitted to the board. It was a PowerPoint presentation. And then we did have students that started coming at the end of last year. That way we could have student input. The students reported they enjoyed second breakfast. And they just brought up possibly creating an area in the courtyard for class time or lunch that they can use as possibly a reward or incentive. And then we set our meeting date for this meeting, and then we adjourned. Excuse me. So for this meeting, we will now go through our department updates. Just briefly, as far as from the health office, the required immunization reports are in the process of being completed. The snapshot day will be in October of when that state report will be submitted. And all other screens are in the process of being completed, and the reports will be submitted in the spring. CPR training is in progress. All staff who transport students off campus are CPR certified. It's available for those who request any CPR training. We also train our students in junior high, and we ensure that all students have CPR training prior to graduation. That's a state requirement. Since we have a campus with 6th through 12th grade, that is the new House bill through Texas, and so that's why our campus will have Narcan. And again, once we have the policies finished and established, then we will place those in the AEDs and required places. Illnesses, when we first started school, were trending up with pink eye and strep. However, now with continued deep cleaning, it seems like our illnesses are kind of leveled out. We do have an on-site flu and shot clinic that will be here on September 25th. We've been working with Aurora Concepts and keeping our students up to date on their immunizations. And we did have a successful shot clinic for our sixth graders and our incoming seventh graders. We only had one student who was not up to par at the start of school. And the Oliver Foundation that we applied for last year and we received the sensory decals. They were placed on the corridor floor. We were unable to put them on the wall at this time. We're gonna do a different type of cling because the walls would not be agreeable. And we're also waiting on 2 4x6 mats that are rollout mats that can be used for PE or for recess time. That's all from the nurse's office. Is there anything?
Yes, so the eighth grade group just completed a 5-week session of the Youth Achieving Mental Health Awareness with Texas A&M. I have started going into the classrooms, and we've started out with safety, career interests. We will be touching on Red Ribbon Week safety. I've reached out to TxDOT about having a presenter come and talk to our students about some of the effects of drunk driving. And then we're in process of setting up the canine from the sheriff's office to come out and discuss that, what they do with our elementary students. In the spring semester, we'll be touching on social emotional learning in classroom lessons.
In the area of curriculum, we've made some staffing adjustments and changes for our students so that they could have a designated health curriculum or be exposed to a health curriculum by a certified teacher. Ms. Kelly Weiler is now teaching health for all of our secondary classes except for seventh grade as an elective class. And then fourth and fifth grade students will receive a semester of rotations during their specials time each week where they'll receive their health instruction. Pre-K through three students are receiving, are being taught their health standards in the classroom with the certified teacher. It's also intertwined into the science, the social studies, the computer classes, like Ms. Batten referred to with the lessons that she, the counselor, administers to the students, Red Ribbon Week, all of those exposures our pre-K through three students are taking care of. We do need to review look at the proposed health curriculum, and that has to be a committee recommendation that we then recommend to the school board for adoption. So I'm going to share what the subcommittee has put together. If you'll just take one of these and pass it down. And I'll draw your attention to anything that is underlined. That is a link that is hyperlinked to those resources. If you would like a digital copy so that you could explore this a little more, I will send around a form where you can sign up your email and I can email that to you. But you can just notice that we have the overview of health education at Norzulch ISD. And we're standing firm that we teach the standards. We teach the TEKS. That is our curriculum, and we pull from various resources to make sure that those standards are taught with fidelity. What's in italics, kind of in the middle of the page there, will be hopefully added once all of the approval process has occurred. That's why it's in italics if anything needs to be changed there. You can see, I just reiterated what I just got through kind of going over with you with the K through 3 standards. And then you can look at the topics that are lined out in the TEKS. When you get into the 4th and 5th grade, you have the learning strand, the 6th learning strand. That's kind of a change beginning in 4th grade. And then Ms. Weiler has communicated to her parents of the 4th and 5th grade students the modules so that the parents are aware, the students are aware of the pacing of the class. You'll notice that we are in compliance with the parent consent as we look at 4th and 5th grade module 18, again staying in lines with state law. And then when we get into secondary, 6 through 12, again, we'll see the underline teaching of the standards. We will utilize two resources that are were adopted by larger textbook companies. We'll use those, obviously, after review and that are following in line with the standards. And then we have some other related links that we've added. So at this time, I would just open things up to discussion, questions, anything that you'd like to talk about before we take it to a vote for recommendation.
I was just the parental consent.
Yes, ma'am.
On that portion, because that is where, obviously, this it's going to be vital that we do have the opt-in.
Right.
Everything will be in English and Spanish.
Correct.
For the opt-in.
Yes, ma'am.
Could I make a suggestion that we Absolutely. Utilize the parent square
Absolutely.
As well on the day of or perhaps the day before when the consent forms are going out?
Okay.
That has been found for myself as a parent. The parent square has been much easier, and it, somehow it just draws attention better than the previous system of notification that the school used. And then I also think, because it is to be done at least 2 weeks before 14 days, perhaps the day before lessons are going to begin, one more chance to remind parents if they have not. So that, you know, so just having, not that it's going to become cumbersome, but just at least a one or two reminders about the importance of having the opt-in form signed and submitted.
Yes, that is kind of a different way of thinking for our parents. A lot of parents are used to the opt-out.
Correct.
Rather than the opt-in. One of the features of Parent Square that probably a lot of parents haven't received much about is the digital forms. And so we're just kind of starting to roll those out. I know Ms. Shineman in the office is using that feature when it comes to certain forms. So
has she had much success with having? Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that again, that is, as a parent, that is the biggest change is instead of opting out, the opting in. And so just visiting with other school districts that I have through, I know that that has been a struggle. And so I would just suggest maybe adding those to an additional way of communicating.
That's a great idea. Thank you. Okay, any other items to discuss or questions before we take a vote?
There's not any, I would recommend that we present this to the board as our curriculum for approval by the board.
Any, I guess it's a majority, so all those in favor? All right, looks like majority approval. So we will pass that recommendation to the board. Ms. Still, would you like to go on the anything as far as your student on the?
We do cover lots of this information in my classes because I teach family community service and mental health and counseling and child development and human growth. And so we go through a lot of the same information in those.
So that's good to know that it'll be complementary to what
reinforces the students moving into high school.
Would you like to?
Sure. I'm Alex. I am with the Department of State Health Services, or people just call us the health department. I am housed in Centerville now. We no longer have the Madisonville clinic, but I do cover Leon County and Madison County, and right now I'm about to be covering Robertson County as well, until we hire another. But those have always, Leon and Madison have kind of always been covered by one nurse, but then it was separated. Then there was issues with the clinic, so now we're back in Centerville, but we have a, well, new to us clinic. It's the previous Health Point, which is right next door to the Centerville Health Point. And we provide immunizations to children who are uninsured or have Medicaid, $10 for one or $20 for two or more, but if they do not have the money, we don't turn them away, we still give them immunizations. And then as well as adults with no insurance, with select vaccines depending on what the state allows. But and we also provide STD testing for anyone, it's free, and treatment, medication is free as well. there are a select few that we have to refer out, but if they can go to that provider and get a diagnosis and come back to us, we give them free medication. We also do tracking and treatment of tuberculosis, but that's usually a referral situation. And we usually treat them in their home to try to keep them from spreading until we have confirmed that they're no longer contagious. But yes, that's what I do. And if you need my information, I did bring cards. We're trying to get the word out a little more. The one thing about the state is they're not always great about spreading that we're present. I lived in Centerville my entire life, and I did not know the job existed until I applied for it. So I'm trying to work on that as well. And especially, like I was telling her when I got here, the Madisonville Clinic, I mean, we were called, I don't know if y'all knew, but we were housed in the same parking lot as the St. Joe's Hospital. And even people from the hospital, which they owned that building, didn't know we were gone, supposedly, until a year later. And so so they were still sending people over to that, and we're like, no, we're in Centerville. So, yes, any of the children here, if they meet our requirements, it's the only thing. If they don't, we are able to send them right next door, so they don't have to, that's the positive about our location, they don't have to then turn right back around if they have insurance. But
thank you for having me.
I've been dying to get into a shack, and I think COVID just like shut everyone. They're like, no, we're not bringing you in, like, because they're like, we used to get invited all the time. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate it.
Anything from admin or principal side?
Just that we have already had a few outbreaks of things that, you know, it seems like it starts earlier and earlier every year. But in response to that, we have been diligent about cleaning the rooms. We've actually shut down the campus like for over a weekend where we did a really deep clean. And we asked, you know, the staff not to come in during that time so that can take place. So we're trying to do our part to stay on top of that.
Is that scheduled? Sorry. Do y'all have that scheduled through the fall or going, you know, will that happen every other month?
Now it's just kind of in, you know, once school started back and all of the kids came back, there was an outbreak of a few things. And so we did it kind of at that time in a response to that. But any time that we see that there's an increase of a particular virus or something that's going around, then we talk to the custodial staff, and then we can do that deep cleaning anytime that's needed.
And we've encouraged the increase of spot cleaning as far as in the classrooms with teachers, especially those that have the littles. We've given out the sanitizing wipes to where they can wipe doors and surfaces a little more frequently in between the custodial staff.
Just trying to keep everybody aware. You know, we again, probably during COVID, we were really on top of that all of the time. And then things get better and you kind of goes to the side. But just reiterating to the teachers to make sure they're going over those hand washing policies and things like that with their students. So, but it seems like it's gotten better, and we've kind of gotten through that first wave of mass sickness. Ms. Dill is getting ready to do some trainings for us with bus safety. She's working with some of her FCCLA students on projects that they're doing. And so she'll be bringing a bus safety program to the school in the near future.
Do you ladies have anything at all?
I'm not sure if we passed this out last time, but the local wellness policy that's been approved already.
Yes,
I don't have a lot of copies.
That's okay. That's all right.
And then this is the assessment tool that we need to get done. Maybe the next Jack meeting we can do it. It kind of goes over.
Is that the WellSat, or is that the...
The assessment triennial assessment. Anyway. Okay. And then that just goes over that to make sure we're meeting it. If we're not, what are we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. How can we make it better? Do we need to change it? Let's say we're not even doing something that's kind of irrelevant. We can take that off. And so it makes sure that matches.
Okay. With these
change
two.
It and improve it if it's needed.
Yeah. Did you get a copy of that one?
Not that one. Oops, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How far can we reach? There's a couple there.
So maybe next time the Shack meets, we can do that assessment.
Okay.
Yeah, and truthfully, I would also propose that there either be a subgroup that begins looking at this in advance of that, because it is quite a bit to go through even during just one meeting for everybody. It's extensive, and you do want to make sure that these two are aligning.
It's extensive. Now we only have to do it every third year.
I was going to say it's every 2 or 3 years, depending.
And so we will do that. We'll establish a subcommittee, and then once we figure out our next meeting date, then we can figure out the subcommittee date. Getting it. Anyone else have any topics or discussion they'd like to bring up?
Would you like to say anything about the Oliver Foundation? Yeah, the grant.
Well, we're working on the food side, the snack side. And so I have a student that's going to do some presentations to the elementary and give out smart snacks and healthy snack ideas. We are going to have a poster at the open house this week. And so that way they can kind of start seeing things. The kids have already enjoyed, I think, the hallway that Casey has put together.
Yes.
And stuff. And
it's a matter of introducing the newer teachers to how to incorporate that into their teaching lessons, right, and using it as an incentive. And also with the snack aspect, we're talking about at our different events like homecoming, Halloween, and even like at Christmas, incorporating a healthier snack and healthier options, at least to demonstrate to the community that we're trying to keep everybody healthy.
And all of those are the healthy choices that go in line with that Oliver grant that was funded. Yes.
Anything else from anybody?
Are there any changes in the cafeteria? Just from a parent's perspective, were there any, have we seen increase in participation, or how are things going in the cafeteria?
There's been increase in children coming through. They have four options. Secondary does, chef salad, PB, and then whatever's on the line. So a lot of them's going for that chef salad now, because it looks good.
Yeah.
So, and we've been changing it up. 1 week it might have ham, pepperoni. Next week, grilled chicken, just to give them a little, so they don't just get doled out. But secondary breakfast is going good. They have multiple options for them. Mm-hmm. They can either finish what we had first breakfast, or there's a second option for them, or yogurt, fruit. Or they can have it all. So we do have a few coming back that are still hungry, and I give them that option. We have still veggies, salad, fruit that they are more than welcome to have the first time, but none of them do it. None of them take it. But then they realize they're still hungry, so they come back. Mm-hmm. So it's there. So that's going good, and we haven't had no complaints, I don't think. I haven't heard nothing, so.
And the signage, I knew there had been some added signage at one point on the to help with that, and that had been a request from some parents as well. The after school or the backpack sort of programs.
I guess yesterday was the first day, or they're getting ready for their. Okay. We are still participating in that this year.
Okay.
And they're getting ready to
do
those out.
As far as a review of our goals from last year, I think that's something that we probably need to bring up. One of them, one of our short-term goals, which I believe we have met and addressed, was implement increased signage in the cafeteria regarding the meals for better communication with the students. The second chance breakfast, that's been successful as well. A future goal was afternoon snacks for the elementary students, and that's kind of what we're working on in progress for this year. And then the on-site flu and shots for students and staff. Something that we can address this year is staff stress relief. That was a goal that we brought up and we started addressing, and that we could work on more this year. Are there any other goals that anyone would like to mention or bring up or see for the year?
could we have a student perspective on anything?
From what I see and like what I hear from other people, like as far as lunch goes, we're pretty much like, I don't really hear any complaints over it or anything. Same with breakfast, like, I mean, we're always hungry, and like normally us kids like don't eat as soon as we wake up, and so it's at like the perfect time for us, like right at second period. Mm-hmm. And then it's a perfect like interval of time between like second and then after fifth period we have lunch, so I think it's going well.
If you do have any suggestions or anything, we always are welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Do you have anything, Miss Hope? No? Would y'all like to figure out when our next meeting would be? I think we set it a little early this year, so if we did have goals or we wanted to try and do things and we had a little more time versus last year, it was late in the semester. Our subcommittees can meet at any time. They can establish their meetings between now and December. Do y'all want to do another one this semester, or do y'all want to wait until next semester?
Before we tackle that,
yes, ma'am.
I know we had the teacher survey that helped give this group a little bit of guidance, like with the stress relief or trying to help staff and improve just, you know, whatever. This group and then our PTO group has also been trying to support staff wellness or, you know, just whatever we can do to help on that end. Is there anything that y'all specifically have heard or that you think would aid? We did implement this year the room helper, and that seems to be going well. We've had several parents who have stepped up and volunteered to serve in that role, and from what we hear from the teacher and the parent, both of them seem to be having a good relationship, or, you know, that's working well. We tried to start the year off by giving teachers some, like, those teacher pay teacher, you know, to help offset maybe some of the cost at back to, you know, going back to school and getting their classrooms ready. That they could spend on helping with some lessons. We do anticipate doing our usual teacher appreciation, but then also, you know, trying to highlight at Christmas and other things. But if there are anything else that from an administration or other teachers that y'all have ideas that this committee or that, because I also represent PTO, either way, that we could work to support in the efforts. We're very much interested in doing that.
We can always send out another message or a survey just to get ideas at some point. And feedback.
I mean, yeah, maybe at some point during the year. And then besides that, I think I would be willing to serve on a subcommittee to review through those. If they're at a later time to make a group to go through those.
When does the assessment need to be completed?
Before next year.
Just before the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll look for that when they come.
Yeah. It'll be a part of the audit that's done. And so as long as it's completed before that.
Meeting, or is there any other topics? Okay. So this semester or next semester?
Doesn't this committee have to meet four times? Or
as a district of innovation, it's just two required.
Two times.
Yes. I mean, we can have an extra if needed, but it's...
Yeah, there's nothing saying...
You can have more.
Yeah, but at a minimum, two.
Spring before spring break?
I would suggest second semester as well. I know there's a lot of upcoming events, programs, and holidays, and homecoming, and
so. Did you say before or after spring break?
I said before spring break. That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be that, but
I would agree myself.
Because there's so many things that start after we come back from spring break. Everything from testing and finishing
the school year.
Athletic events, and there's just a lot going on there.
I agree. I think it'd be better to do it following the Christmas break somewhere.
I would even maybe suggest February.
February is what I was thinking.
February is kind of short with just coming back. And
do we have a staff development in February?
Yes, it's on the 2nd.
Not 16th? A staff development. And we have a day where students and staff are out.
16th and 19th, I believe.
Isn't February 2nd?
I show February 2nd.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't look up there. Staff development is on February 2nd.
And then I also see the 16th and 19th.
Those are actual staff and student.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. February 1st?
Is Wednesday a good day for everybody?
Yeah, Wednesdays are better for me typically.
Okay. What about the 7th? We won't want to do it on the 14th.
Yeah.
That works.
Is the
7th
a good day?
It's available for me.
What about time wise?
This far out, it's hard to tell.
I like 1:30 because it gives everybody time to get back from lunch and.
Okay. 1:30, okay?
Yeah, that works for me. Okay.
So the next meeting will be Wednesday, February 7th, 2024, at 1:30 in the afternoon.
And we already know that one agenda topic will be the approval of.
Yes. All right, and so, motion to adjourn.
Second.